You'll find real-life stories from women who have suffered miscarriage and infant loss in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, Never Forsaken, God's Mercy in the Midst of Miscarriage. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt of Never Forsaken at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Never Forsaken, God's Mercy in the Midst of Miscarriage, 800-325-3040.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Well, you have to say something for Joseph of the Old Testament there in the latter chapters of the book of Genesis. He always seems to be in the right place at the right time. He's thrown down into a pit, and along come, who else, Midianites ready to buy slaves. He's sold into slavery. He goes down there. He's a slave in Potiphar's house. He rises through the ranks of the slaves to take over Potiphar's business. And there he is caught, well, at least allegedly caught, trying to make a pass at Potiphar's wife. He's back in prison again. Well, that sounds like the wrong place at the wrong time in most cases, but it always turns out that the wrong place for Joseph is, in fact, the right place, according to God, no more so than in the story we're going to be looking at as we teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on this Tuesday afternoon, Genesis 40 and 41, where Joseph, from the darkness of the pit, which is the Egyptian prison, is given the light of revelation to interpret dreams that eventually leads him to the court of Pharaoh and to his role in feeding not only Egypt during famine, but the entire world, and even a bigger plan that God is unfolding through Joseph and his people. Joining us to teach Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
It seems as though, even though in this case it might be an Egyptian prison, Joseph always seems to be in the right place at the right time. He meets somebody who will later be pivotal in bringing him to the attention of the Pharaoh, and that's how he ends up being a prince in Egypt. Talk about how God works out these circumstances in Joseph's life.
We can always go back to the promises of God. He will never leave us nor forsake us. All things will work together for our good, and many, many other promises that indicate we are never left alone. In fact, if you remember from last week's lesson where Joseph had trouble with Potiphar's wife, then he was in prison, just in one chapter, it says the Lord was with Joseph seven times. And that's referring to none other than Jesus Christ himself was with Joseph during this time. So that even though God's timing is not what we would like, for example, he gives the dream to the butler and then asks the butler, tell Pharaoh what I told you, and therefore maybe I'll get out of prison. Well, the butler forgets about it, and Joseph is in prison for two more years. But God then sets up a dream in Pharaoh's sleep that only Joseph is able to interpret, and then the butler remembers that, and he tells Pharaoh, and Joseph comes out of prison. So God's timing may not be our timing, but it's always appropriate, and that's why we should have, as the Concordia Publishing House material states, we should trust the promises of God in every circumstance and always wait for the Lord's time rather than force our own time on situations, because God has made these promises to us also.
So tell us the story of Joseph's time in prison, how it eventually, by God's plan, leads him to be the second in command in all of Egypt.
Joseph is sent to prison because of Potiphar's wife, who lied about him. And while he's in prison, he hears about two dreams that the chief cupbearer and the chief baker had. And Joseph is looked upon so well by the head of the prison that the captain of the guard appoints Joseph to be with them. He makes him almost second in command. And so what happens, they tell him the dreams. And both of them have a dream which Joseph interprets. The one dream is interpreted, the cupbearer, that he is going to be restored to his position. His head will be lifted up and he'll be out of prison. Whereas the baker, his dream is interpreted that his head will be lifted up on a rope and he will be hanged. And all this will happen within 3 days. And so even though Joseph asks the cupbearer that he should be released from prison, the last verse in chapter 40, yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now we would say, well, why did God allow that? I'm not here to explain God's ways, but it does show the patience of Joseph, because the next sentence, after 2 whole years, Pharaoh has a dream. And the first dream is about 7 cows that are fat and plump, and they are feeding on the grass. But then here come 7 other cows, ugly and thin, and they eat the fat cows. The second dream are 7 ears of grain, and they're very good ears of grain. But behold, sprouting beside them come 7 ears that are thin and blighted, and the thin ears swallow up the 7 plump. So when Pharaoh wakes, he wants to know, what are the meanings of this dream? And he calls for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. Those were people who probably dealt with the occult. And when he told them his dreams, there was nobody who could interpret them. Then the chief cupbearer, he says to Pharaoh, you know, I remember there was this individual in prison who interpreted my dreams, and he was accurate in what my dreams were. So Pharaoh calls Joseph, and they bring him out of the pit. Now, that's interesting, because that's the same word that the brothers of Joseph put Joseph into when he was sold by the Midianites into Egypt. So he's brought out of the pit. He shaves. He puts on proper clothes. He listens to the dream of Pharaoh and then says the 7 plump cows and ears of corn represents 7 years of great harvest in Egypt, but they're going to be followed by 7 years of famine. Then he says the famine will consume the land. And Joseph advises Pharaoh to get a wise man to gather all the food of the good 7 years to prepare for the food in the last 7 of famine. Well, Pharaoh thinks, can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God? Now, why did Pharaoh think that? Because before he revealed the meaning of the dreams, Joseph told the Pharaoh, you know, I'm not going to be able to figure this out, but God, he will be the one who will reveal to me the meaning. And so Pharaoh makes Joseph second in command in Egypt. And that occurs when Joseph is 30 years old. And he goes throughout the whole land of Egypt. And when the good ground is produced abundantly, all the grain, then he stores some of it and gets it ready for the time of famine. And all this, we think, well, that's good history, but there was one reason that God was doing this, because there was a Bible verse, out of Egypt shall come my son. In other words, the Messiah is going to be coming even out of Egypt. And we're going to hear later on in the rest of the chapters how the people of Israel go to Egypt because of the famine. They meet Joseph, etc., etc., until they're imprisoned for over 400 years, and God takes them back to the promised land through the 40 years in the wilderness until they reach the land of Canaan. All of this, when we look at the big picture, is simply about Jesus Christ and God preparing things in such a way that his promises are being fulfilled through this particular journey of Joseph to Egypt, his ascendancy to second in command, and later on his brothers and father coming to Egypt, the 400 years, and then they're returning to the promised land. God is in charge of everything here, and Joseph is shown to be a patient individual as he trusts the promises of God.
It's really amazing that we're talking about, these would have been, if they were taking place today, they would have been international stories about a famine that affects the whole inhabited world, about one country that has the foresight to plan for something like this and therefore become, in essence, the breadbasket for not only their own empire, but for all the lands of the world. All these global activities, the weather and everything, all being coordinated by God in order to keep his promise.
Yes, next week, the very first verse, when Jacob learned that there was grain for sale in Egypt, therefore he sends his sons to gather that grain. And so it became well known, probably not during the first 7 years, because if there were great crops in Egypt, there were probably great crops everywhere. And whoever thinks about storing during good years, they just assume it'll keep on happening. But no, God has a different plan. And therefore, the fact that Egypt had this food shows that Joseph was sent to Egypt by God, even though it was through his evil brothers, for the purpose of fulfilling the promises of the Messiah coming out of Egypt.
We'll talk more about that on the other side of the break. We are teaching a Sunday school lesson on Joseph feeding Egypt in Genesis chapters 40 and 41. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Stay tuned.
And I'm sure it's crossed your mind what it is you have to find. Find a man who leads you through the famine with a flair for economic planning. But who this man would be, I just don't know.
It's difficult for others to know how to be a part of another person's grief in a tragic event such as a miscarriage.
Deaconess Catherine Ziegler-Weber, editor of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, Never Forsaken, God's Mercy in the Midst of Miscarriage.
But as Christians, we have a more significant death that unifies us, and that's what we have to cling to, is the cross.
Learn more about Never Forsaken at issuesetc.org.
Do you know a high school student who would make a great pastor, teacher, deaconess, director of parish music, or director of Christian education? Tell them about Careers for Christ Weekend, Friday, October 12th through Sunday, October 14th at Concordia University, Chicago. This even includes a group outing to downtown Chicago. Check it out at cuchicago.edu/c4c. That's cuchicago.edu/c4c.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here at Elm Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church, you'll find folks just like you, sinners in need of what only Christ can give, the full forgiveness of all of our sins. In a world where change turns things upside down, we serve a Lord who never changes and who has promised to be with us always until the very end of the age. If you find yourself in the Milwaukee suburbs, look us up. Elm Grove Evangelical Lutheran Church is the only Lutheran church in Elm Grove, Wisconsin.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson in Genesis chapters 40 and 41 on Joseph feeding Egypt. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. Speaking of children, and the children here in the Sunday school lesson are learning this story perhaps for the first time, it's part of their ongoing instruction, isn't it? As parents and sponsors promise to do when a child is baptized. Chris Roseborough is going to be making the case for infant baptism at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Attendance at the conference is limited to 400 and child care is free, courtesy of Wittenberg Academy. You can find out more about the premier conference for Christian laity, Making the Case, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Tom, you were talking before the break about how all of this fits into the narrative of Christ, but there's so much more coming here out of the Joseph story. There is the slavery in Egypt, there's the Exodus, there's the giving of the covenant, the promised land. All of those things are signposts pointing forward to Christ.
It's interesting to note that the cupbearer forgot about Joseph. I don't know how he could do that. He was released from prison. But also the following Pharaoh forgot about Joseph, and they began to put the Egyptians in slavery. And so finally, you've got that wonderful individual, the one that Jesus is spoken of as being the second Moses, who came and God used him to help the Exodus out of Egypt into the wilderness for 40 years so they could arrive at the promised land. And he did that through tremendous miracles, the 10 plagues, and of course the opening of the Red Sea. How anyone having those experiences could doubt that the Lord God was the one to keep on worshiping is beyond me. But it didn't take them long before they fell from faith, and that was the necessity of another 38 years wandering in the wilderness. But it's important to understand that God was still in charge of everything and that the plan for the Messiah was coming to fruition.
How do we deal with the fact that God reveals things to Pharaoh, who is not a believer? He's just a pagan king, and yet God reveals things to him in dreams.
There is no doubt that God is in control of both the spiritual and the secular kingdoms. So that even in our society, when somebody is wise, it's not at all unusual that they can be elected to office. I know I'm thinking here of Ronald Reagan, where a lot of people look back and think he was a fine president, or Abraham Lincoln. Now, even unbelievers began to recognize the good that was coming from them, and therefore they were happy when, say, the economy went up or there was sufficient food or people were being taken care of. Now, it's impossible to have a perfect political system, but God does use even unbelievers to proceed further. And remember, Pharaoh was aware that normally there were people that he referred to as magicians or wise men that could understand things that he could not. So when he was confronted with this Israelite, Joseph, he recognized the Spirit of God within him. How much he knew about the true God, is not clear from the Bible. But I can't but imagine that Joseph wouldn't have been talking to Pharaoh over the years that he was with him. We know there were 14 years of good food and famine. So we ought not think that God cannot work through unbelievers. The greatest unbeliever I remember was none other than Saul himself, who was actually murdering Christians. And God brought him to faith and gave him the assignment of being the apostle to the Gentiles. So we need to remind the children that you may have hopes and plans for the future. If they don't work out, don't worry about it, because you're God's child, and he therefore is working things out according to his will, and therefore you can rest assured that whatever happens in your life, even though at times it may not be something that you're happy about, God still has a plan for your life, and we rest therefore in his promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us.
Is this really also a broader lesson in how God has turned all the course of history toward its culmination, its fulfillment in Jesus Christ?
Yes. In fact, we've already seen how Joseph was somewhat a prefigurement of Jesus. But here again, we see this, where Jesus himself was arrested, that Jesus himself was taken to court, but he died where Joseph didn't die this time. And he died because his purpose for being on earth was to destroy the work of the devil and provide salvation for the whole world. As he said from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So we can see some parallels between Joseph and Jesus here also. The biggest one being that Jesus had a patience, knowing that whatever was going to happen to him was not something that he had to fight against or stop, because he had come to do the will of his Father.
Does it say anything about how God directs the course of our lives, or even directs the course of history to bring about his purpose, that in this case, that all who would hear the gospel would hear it?
I would say that God continues to use regular people to share the message. I once did a survey at the congregation I was at for 28 years, because we had a lot of members joining it, and I was wondering, is it because I was on the radio? Was it because of them getting to know me? And when the survey was done, the vast majority had come because other members of the congregation had spoken to them, either about what they believed or invited them. So every child, and I would encourage that as you go into a vacation Bible school or Sunday school, should be talking to other children in their school or in their neighborhood, inviting them to come to the Sunday school of the church, the vacation Bible school, or any time there is some kind of event to which they can be invited, just to get them familiar with what the church has to teach.
I do note, as you had noted before, that God takes his time in doing this. After the exit of the cupbearer and the baker, I believe it says 2 years passed.
Yes.
That kind of patience is difficult for us to exercise, especially when we are living in a society where we are used to immediate gratification. What are your pastoral thoughts on Christian patience here?
I am confident that though Joseph had the dreams about the brothers, father and mother bowing down toward him, he had no sense that God would fulfill that by becoming second in command in Egypt. I mean, he wasn't even Egyptian. And yet that's what God had in mind. And he had looked back and saw they tried to kill him in the pit. No, God restored his life through the Midianites. than he thought he might die because of Pharaoh's wife's lies? No, God threw him into prison. And then he thought, oh, I'm going to be terrible in here. He became second in command. Then he had the opportunity to do dreams. Pharaoh heard about that, and now he's second in command in Egypt. No wonder he's going to say to his brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That's the promise that hopefully these children will understand. Regardless of what they're going through, God always has good in his mind for them.
Finally, with about 30 seconds, the law and gospel of this Sunday school lesson.
The law and the gospel is that we can sometimes get angry at God and be accused of that because things aren't going the way we planned. Our plans often don't take care of the needs we think we have. But not only does the gospel forgive us for that kind of idolatry, but it helps us to see that everything that's happening in our lives is according to God's will, and therefore we have a greater trust in his promises.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you.
On the other side of the break on this Tuesday afternoon, we continue our series, Pastors and the People. Today we're going to take up a scenario in which family members, having suffered the loss of a loved one, want to offer eulogies during the loved one's funeral service. Pastor Larry Peters will be our guest, pastor of Grace Lutheran Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, and Pastor Ben Ball, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.